this grant.
Motion is made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
We had Nicole Johnson at 217, Richard Keller Hoffa at 202, Nicole Chin at 64. Okay.
As everyone knows, Corey takes the place of Alan immediately.
Did you hear who seconded by any chance?
Judy.
Yes.
John.
I'm sorry?
No.
John.
It was John.
Yeah.
John Prady. Okay.
Okay.
Now we'll let Tracy swear.
Thank you.
Can you raise your right hand? I, Corey Chin.
I, Corey Chin.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And the Constitution of the State of New York.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of Board of Education member.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of Board of Education member.
Of the Weetabix Central School District.
Of the Weetabix Central School District.
For the term beginning May 20th, 2015.
For the term beginning May 20th, 2015.
And expiring June 30th, 2017.
And expiring June 20th.
June 30th, sorry.
June 30th, 2017.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations. Bear with us.
Okay, yes, let's go.
You all set?
Yeah, I am. I'm just trying to work on getting her home.
Since we're, next step is public comment. Anybody have anything to say? Okay. We get a lot of public here, so.
It's usually minus one without you.
Now we'll move on to our students report with Andrew.
There are 14 days of classes left. Just throwing that out.
Before, who's counting?
How about the minutes and hours?
So as you can see in the senior lounge, there's and along the hallways is the remnants of the art show that was put together by the art department that went on mainly Tuesday and Wednesday of last week, and now they are in the process of taking stuff down. The elementary school concert is going to be June 3rd, and that is the final of the three concerts put on by the music society here. There are, the sports are almost coming to a close. The only two teams left on the varsity level is varsity baseball, who will have their first sectional game this coming Thursday. And varsity track has their sectional meet on Friday. And as of right now, we have two students, Taylor Edmondson and Angus Edmondson, who have qualified for the state qualifying meet for track, which is a really big thing. And we have a third, Julia Buss, who is going to try and hit the qualifying time this Friday. So if they make it, then they get to participate in a big qualifying meet at SUNY Albany. And then if they do well there, then they move on to the state championship meet. So that is very exciting. Tomorrow morning, there is a breakfast for the two students selected as the Mahal Scholar Athletes. And that is at the Gipsy Grand Hotel. This past Wednesday, we had the superintendent's dinner, which was awesome. Thank you, Mr. Castellani. It was really nice. The speaker was Robert Roosevelt, and he made a really, really nice speech. The whole thing was really nice, and it was a really nice experience to see all these other students who have really worked hard throughout their high school career. The Junior Honor Society and National Honor Society's induction ceremony was scheduled for June 4th. However, there is a conflict, I think, with a science test that just was brought to light, so that date is being worked out. But it'll be in the morning, sometime coming up soon during the school day. The senior class trip to Six Flags will be June 5th. And our speaker, our commencement speaker for graduation, we are hoping will be Ed Downey. We have asked him, and he has said yes. We are just waiting for, I think, approval by Mrs. McEnroe. I don't know where it will go from there. But if that is all approved, then Ed Downey has said yes, he would like to do it. And let's see. That is it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, next, our superintendent's report.
Well, the agenda here is a couple of updates. First of all, my young friend who just gave a wonderful presentation failed to neglect to say that he was at the Val Sal Dinner the other night as one of the students who was being recognized. So congratulations to Andrew. Very nice. And we can say that you, that Andrew and, I don't remember the first name.
Jade.
Jade Lessing.
Giordano.
Giordano represented us very well. They were, it was really exciting to get to see them interact with other students that are Val Sals throughout the county, three or four counties. It's Putnam, Westchester, Dutchess. So really nice job by them, congratulations. You also, I think, failed or neglected to say that tomorrow's breakfast, you're being recognized as a student athlete, correct?
So yes, that's so another Jane.
Yeah, I say it's Jane, our other board member, Jane Mulconnick. So we'll be there tomorrow morning with them. So good stuff. We have the prom was last week, last Thursday night, which was excellent. That was held at Christo's. Kids had fun. Everybody was safe and sound. And it was very nicely organized by Mrs. Tomasetti. So we have the end of the year report that I believe Ms. Panzer had asked for regarding students' graduations and where they're going to 4 years, 2 years, military, workforce, and other, along with what colleges they'll be attending, if they are attending universities, will be at the next meeting for you. They have until Friday to turn that report into me, which they said they will be able to do. So you'll have it in your next packet. Please expect that, and you can discuss that and highlight that. I'd like to share that we have talked about inviting the few retirees we've had as a recognition for them at the one of the last meetings to thank them for all their service. I think it's something that it's nice to do on a yearly basis. I'd also like to invite any of the sectional participants in athletics to recognize them. It's something that we should probably do every fall, winter, and spring season so that we recognize those. For a small school district, we have a nice participation in sectionals for our students. As Andrew had said, so we'll do that also. Okay, we have the National Junior Honor Society who has come to us, and I've given you a copy of what their guidelines they're looking to implement are for approval. And I really believe that the big change that they pointed out to me was that there's a more of a mandatory attendance protocol. Right now, it's a little loose that there's not an attendance. We have students who are absent. Awful amount that are still eligible for the Honor Society. One of the goals of this district for the future will be to raise the attendance, the daily attendance rate, something that we talked about at our conference day last week with the entire staff. So what better avenue to do this than to make sure that our Honor Society students who are recognized for their success and their hard work do have a good attendance rate also. So I would ask to support that. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, discuss it at all.
I just had one question. I'm assuming that's no more than 12 unexcused absences. I mean, clearly if a student gets very ill and still manages to maintain their scholarship, you don't want to reward them by saying you're not eligible to be in the Honor Society. So.
If there's a situation where students are out because of any illness or any event going on in their life, we understand that, and that's something we would take into account. It would be for unexcused, but also sometimes excused absences are okayed by a parent or a guardian. That we want to make sure that they need to be in school as much as possible. But if it's an event that's taking place, we can understand that and we'll work with that. So,
I agree. I guess I just always like objective rather than subjective standards.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. If you have a medical, to me, and as far as I know, under the law, a parent can't excuse an absence if it's not for one of the reasons that's acceptable. So if it is a recognized absence, then I think that's an easy thing to just build into it. And then you don't have to worry about somebody down the road saying, how come they got in and I didn't.
We would hope that there's no one taking advantage of it. So we could start off with that way. And if we see that it's something that's going to be need to be looked at again, we could do that again. So, yeah, that's reasonable. Any other discussion regarding the Honor Society? Last but not least, we had a very, I think, successful Superintendent's Conference Day on Thursday. We discussed vision for the district. I started them off with about a 20-minute video, and they asked if the board had seen it, and I said, no, it's a great idea, so I'm going to be sending you a link that we should probably watch. It really talks a lot about what education, how we have to start thinking a different way, and looking at education, looking at the whole child, but at the same time, making sure that, you know, teachers are given the ability to teach, but at the same time, be held accountable. So I'll share that with you.
It was a great video. The teachers were very excited about it. They posted it.
Yes.
They did.
Websites, I saw it.
Oh, good.
It was wonderful, and it was not only informative, it was very entertaining. So it was.
I'll share that link with you.
Kudos for presenting. That was great.
Thank you. Good. And I shared the report card, a breakdown of the report card with the staff. And it was really the teaching staff. All of the staff was off that day. So I really was purposeful to let them understand that they're supported, that we know we want to move together, but at the same token, there's lots of work to do. That led into a real heavy-duty discussion regarding goal setting. And they had an assignment to complete by the end of the day. Some carried it through the weekend, which was okay. Means they worked on it. And I will share the results of that goal setting. They were asked to create goals, what they think the district should start to look at as a goal immediately, September 1st, 2015, and then a September 2016 goal. I didn't go 5 years out right now. I just wanted to stay in those next 2 years. Then we talked about a building-wide goal, a department or grade level goal, and then an individual goal that had to be in place by September of 2016. And they were all based on the SMART goal setting, and I think I gave you copies of what that looks like. But I'll share some of the, once we bring it all together and make sure that we have everyone's responses, which we check today. I'll share that with you, and if there's a common theme, that's something that we as a board can look at to work off of with the community in regards to this is something that's important to not only educators, but to us in the community. So good day, and hope to have more of those. So that's all I have.
All I have?
Yes.
That's good. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There's a couple items that one member wants to have pulled, which are 704, abolishing instructional position, and following one, 705, to be discussed later. Is there anything else? Anything else would I like to have pulled?
901.
That's the budget one. 10 of those.
Budget transfer? I was
yes.
Going to ask the same thing, Judy. Okay. Is there anybody else want to have anything else pulled? Okay, then can I have a motion for the rest of the consent agenda?
I move that we accept the consent agenda as amended.
I second it.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussions before we go? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? And the ayes have it. Anybody want to discuss the now or executive session?
No, I'm happy to discuss the. I guess the ones I asked to be pulled come first. And there's nothing else before that. I just want to make sure that we don't skip. Nope. Okay. Both 704. Well, they're for two different reasons. 704 has to do with the abolishment of the full-time special education position. I have questions. About whether that's actually an excess, because I went back 2 years to try to look and see whether an additional one was created when Mr. DeSario came, and I haven't found any evidence of that. And in fact, Tammy Nethercott, who is going back to that, who was on assignment last year, and Mr. DeSario were both teaching as special ed in 2013-14, so I'm concerned that we're going to abolish a position that we ought not to be abolishing. So if we can do a little bit of legwork on that, because, we've had a lot of switch of changes in the HR, in the personnel position, and Ray, of course, is a quick study, but he hasn't been in that long. So
you think that position was never really created?
I'm thinking that we may not be supposed to be doing this, because we're far better having a position that's open than paying somebody that we haven't actually got a position for. That's a no-no. We can wait, and it's we only have to abolish it by the end of the year, so we got time. I'd really feel better if
we'll check into that.
Examined it. And on the support staff, the abolishment of those, I had asked only once, but I would like to get a listing of what teaching, what the assignments are for teaching assistants this year and teacher aides, and what the plans are for next year, because I have concerns about whether we can actually make do with cutting that many teaching assistant and teacher aide positions. One of the ones, and I realize it came up during the budget conversations and that, but there's fluidity. These people do not make one of the higher salaries at our district, unfortunately. But one of the positions we talked about was the ELL one, where because we were getting an ELL teacher, we could cut the ELL aide who was doing it. But the ELL aide who was doing it was only doing it as a Band-Aid and had been doing something else beforehand. So I'm just not sure we've looked at it, again, as carefully as we need to.
I can give you what I have as of today. And what I have as of today is that, specifically that position, 2 hours a day that person is not working in the ELL program. So the rest of her day, she was working, well, she was, she's not working with us, was working in ELL. And I had asked what was the plan for next year for her to fulfill her 2 hours. And from what I've been told by the principals, again, is that that was another one of those positions where they had it, so they utilized it the best that they could, so that the 2 hours wasn't necessary to continue any type of program next year. So that comes from the principals, both the principal who was there last year and the principal who's there currently right now. So I asked them very clearly, could we do without that position, the 2 hours, and they said easily. So.
Well, that's one. But actually, part of my concern is the intensive second grade, which is being created next year. My understanding was that there was, in fact, that plan was created with the idea and the promise that there would be a teaching assistant for every grade level, and now apparently we've lost.
There still will be. There still will be a teaching assistant for every grade level, pre-K, K, first, second, and third at the elementary level.
Okay, that isn't what we heard. Well, we were. You said that Ken said we didn't have to have a.
But in re-looking at our teaching assistants, yeah, Judy's correct that in the beginning the discussion was when we were going to lose four teaching assistants, one of them at least was going to come from the levels of the K through pre-K through three level. In revamping the model, we looked at that we had 12 teaching assistants and how they were going to be used, and there were the pre-K. Kindergarten, first, second, third grade level at the elementary school, plus a special education, a self-contained class at the elementary school, so six there. There were two at the high school, both used for 504 testing modifications, in-school suspension type of programs. And there were four at the intermediate school. One was a teaching assistant for a one-on-one program as part of the student's needs, and the other three were all special ed type of programs, one being a 504, so self-contained type of things. So they feel that they were covered. There is the possibility in discussion with them today that we may, and I say may because we have to finalize one IEP, discuss bringing one more teaching assistant back within the budget, which would add to the budget. That position would be funded if a student comes, gets brought back from BOCES program. It would offset the cost of that student easily. So they felt with 12 currently they could meet their needs of the program, which was in the budget. There is a strong possibility where one of them may come back in regards to a program that Jen has created, which we'll talk to you a little bit about as we finalize that program. It's more of a life skills type of program where they would need a teaching assistant in. So we could discuss it more. I mean, again, Judy's right.
That's
great. It doesn't have to be done today.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you a breakdown of what each position is. I have the special ed teachers.
Last year, things kind of went south very quickly with a lot of changes. And I'd just like to really feel comfortable that we're not damaging the kids. Yeah.
So. We can give you, by the next meeting in your report, a breakdown of what the programs this year are with special education positions with it, and I mean, the teaching assistant positions with it.
Okay.
And next year, what the plan is going to be. And also with the special education teachers and what our student service programs might look like. That can be easily done. We're already about 3/4 of the way through finishing it also.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have the wrong paperwork, so I don't know exactly the names, but it didn't say when I was going over it anything about losing a teacher
special ed teacher in EVIS, which we are in fact doing. So I'm just curious how they're, why it's not in there.
In the budget?
In our paperwork that, that I read through last evening.
The special education teaching position that we are losing is a change of the teacher who's on special assignment right now in EBIS. Mrs. Nethercott is going to go back into the classroom in an administrative restructuring model that we're talking about.
She is, but she's not going back into that classroom. They're taking those kids and intend to do something different with them. And so it's not, and that's what I'm a little confused about. It's not the same.
The same models that it is this year?
Yeah, not at all.
I'm not sure exactly what the change is.
Right.
The only change that I know is this one program that Jen has created, which is a 181 type of program. It's a jobs training and a life skills training for students. I'm not sure if...
Is a special ed teacher going to teach that?
A special education teacher. They have three special education teachers who are content areas, social studies, math, science, English are four, that are going to be going in teaching that class.
See, because now, again, I'm concerned that that means we're actually losing. That's why I'd like to see.
We can have Jen present. We'll have Jen present.
Yeah,
it's better if she does it.
Because I don't think they're actually all special ed teachers.
Okay.
But don't the special ed needs change from year to year according to the IEPs and so on, and what the needs are? I would hope that they have assessed very closely what our needs are for next year so that we make sure that we cover all the areas that we need to.
I believe the principals are coming to the next meeting anyway, so what will happen is that I'll have Jen present what the teaching assistant model is and also what the special education model of teachers is in regards to special ed, and then they could all present also what their teaching assistant needs are next year and make it clear and do a presentation for everyone. Okay?
Yep. That was the second one. That's the only two. Yep.
Okay.
The other one is you and Judy.
Judy, you want to start with yours now?
Yeah, when I looked at the budget transfer document, first of all, I was kind of taken back because it wasn't signed by anybody. So when we received them, I'm hoping that people are looking at them in the department that is necessary. And I just wanted some explanation on some of the numbers, but I guess Cynthia is, I don't know if Ray is able to answer it, but we have spoken about some of these items prior to seeing it here as coming out of different line items, and now we're making transfers to cover for them. So I'm a little bit.
Which ones are you concerned?
I'm concerned about the extra coverage for Mr. Eastman.
Right.
And I'm concerned about short bus drivers, 8,500 plus 10,000, both of those. And I'm not.
We're not talking about vertically challenged bus drivers, right? We're talking.
Yes. No. Okay. Sure.
One assumes.
I don't have the answer to those, Cynthia, and she's not here today. Her son broke his shoulder.
Oh.
So she can answer that question for us.
I had the same questions, all three.
I'm going to leap in there if I could, Judy. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but the more information we can get, the less effort it's going to take for people to come back and have to explain to us later. The others are actually pretty good, but short bus drivers really doesn't, aside from sounding mildly bigoted, it doesn't really give us any information. So if we could do better
with that. It's just a moving of, the dollar amounts from one to the other to pay them out of the rate line, but why is it so much? 18,500.
Easy enough. She'll get those answers.
The other one, and I'm not sure where we put the sub person for Andrea. I mean, I don't know where that's coming out of. I mean, did we ever put a person in that
the bus
position?
Driver. We use a bus driver as a office personnel.
Okay.
Is it possible that's why the bus driver line is over?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That could be it. Yeah.
I know that that one bus driver had an hour a day overtime because she had to do a special run normally through the year. I believe that her coverage of the office, which we worked out to be much more cost effective than bringing in a sub, because I had offered Jerry the opportunity to bring in a sub, and he said, I don't need the sub full time. She covers it. Was probably an hour every other day additionally. So it could be that line, but Cindy would best answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry basically saved us money by doing that.
Yes.
Jerry is usually looking to save us money. Very appreciated.
Additional expenses and BOSI services, you know, Taylor?
I think that's that computer stuff, isn't it?
Probably.
That we talked about. We had to do it.
The denial of service and the, yeah.
It looks like that figure to me.
Okay. Or did we send someone else out to the, to Beta or something?
No.
No.
No, because that would be.
It's that increase.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be the instructional line that.
And a physical therapist? I thought that was supposed to save us money.
It did, but we had to transfer the codes because she was an employee. When she left, we saved money in her code, but we had to transfer to the code.
Transfer for one.
Yes.
Anybody else have any other questions on the budget transfers? No? Okay.
We'll make sure we get Cynthia to answer those.
Okay. All right.
Well, yes, we're just going to table it then. Do we want to vote to table it instead of just leaving it hanging there until the next meeting?
I'll move that we table it to the next meeting.
Second it.
Motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I guess we're back on Board of Education. Right?
I think so. We already did the vote.
I just wanted to pass this article around. One of our student liaisons on the board last year has made the news. He's gotten an appointment with the National Guernsey Association, so as an intern. So I'll just pass it around.
Who was that, John?
Andrew Coon.
Nice.
Good. So Weavetough continues to
make news elsewhere.
Despite the lack of a program. I'd like to throw, well, I already threw this one out, so I'd like to remind everybody or ask Ray if anything has happened with it about the possibility of recombining the guidance departments so that both guidance counselors would be available to the entire range of grades.
Yeah, I think as we continue to work through a possible administrative restructuring, that might be something that whatever we finalize in the plan of administration, that will have a impact on guidance and how we're going to run guidance. So I think that we're probably a meeting away from finalizing that discussion.